Proverbs chapter 31, and I hope the points that I've put on the notice sheet might be helpful as we work our way through this passage. But let's pray, shall we? Let's pray as we come to God's word. Father, we praise you and thank you for the beauty of the creation that we have see this morning. We praise you for the beauty of the sunshine for spring. Lord, we thank you that you are a good creator God. And we thank you for the beauty of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that in him we see your wisdom and your power. Thank you that in his cross we see your great love for us. And so, Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning. Show us the beauty of your Son and his wisdom lived out in our lives, we pray. Amen. Well, Rachel Johnson wrote in the Times about motherhood. Somehow, mum signals the end of having a life and having a self and the beginning of an existence in which you are defined by your children. You spend whole days with women who actually describe themselves for the first time as Freddie's mum and fail to tell you their own name as if it no longer matters. Your house will be a tip and nobody else will care but you. Certainly not your husband and your children. They are immune, blissfully oblivious to the chaos, the dirt, the strewn trainers, the fast food litter, the overflowing bins, the unwashed dishes, the midden-like bedrooms. I don't know what to say about this. It's unfair. Another cross you have to bear, I'm afraid. Now, I don't know. The mum's here with us this morning. Can I identify to her words as a mum? Well, this morning we're going to be reminded, as Ben mentioned at the beginning of our time, of the value, the nobility, the valour of being a mother from the Bible. And how it points to one who truly and fully bore a cross. See, Proverbs is a book about wisdom, and wisdom, in a biblical sense, is centred on fearing the Lord. We had a series in Proverbs a few months ago, and it begins, the whole book begins with chapter 1, verse 7, as the sort of drumbeat throughout the whole book. And chapter 1, verse 7 reads like this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." And here in Proverbs 31, at the end of the book, we hear this note being sounded again in verse 29. "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord," fears the Lord, "is to be praised." And fear here doesn't mean terror or being frightened in a negative way. It's a word of respect, of deep recognition that one's life is to be lived in the light and beauty of the Lord. And for those of us who are Christians here this morning, it means living in the light of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because the cross of Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. And when Jesus died on the cross, he made it possible for foolish people like you and me to be made wise like him. Sinful people like you and me to be made righteous like him. Acceptable to God. Able to live in a way that pleases him, as we've been looking at in the book of Romans of late. And so Paul can say of Christians, and if we're Christians here this morning, Jesus has become for us our wisdom. That is, our righteousness, our right standing with God, our holiness, our redemption. See, for a Christian, if we're Christians here this morning, Jesus is our wisdom. We've been joined to his life, and so we can live a wise life, a life which is right with God, depending on his cross, what he's done for us in dying in our place there. See, Jesus was treated as if he were a fool, so that we can be treated by God as if we are wise. So what we're going to do this morning is, just as we might follow the Maker's instructions in one area of life, helps us to be more confident of the Maker's instructions in another area of life, we're going to see how the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is fleshed out in the life of a wife and mother, but always seeing wisdom in this example, wisdom that we can all benefit from, whether we're married or single, whether our children are with us or we've suffered the grief of not being able to have children, or in family life, there's great grief attached to our children. We can see Christ's wisdom as we come to Proverbs 31. But before we get to it, because it's a slight minefield, I just need to explain what we're not seeing in this passage. See, this is not everything that the Bible says about being a Christian woman. There's much more for the Bible to say. So please, if you're a visitor here this morning, don't think this is the only thing that the Bible says about being a wife and mother. There's much more that the Bible says. I mean, she never seems to rest, for example. Did you notice that? But one of the commandments is to take a rest, to have a Sabbath. So this isn't everything that the Bible says about the life of a wife and mother. Neither is she an exact pattern for all wives and mothers to copy. She's an exemplar of wisdom being fleshed out in real life. But we don't have to copy her. We're to copy how she applies wisdom in her life. And because she's one who is applying wisdom in her life, she's an example for us all, because we all need to think through what it means for us to apply the principles of the book of Proverbs, wisdom, in our lives, just as the Lord Jesus Christ did in his life, even though he was not a wife or a mother. In other words, there's principles that we can all learn, whether we're single or married, whether we have children or not. And finally, the Bible doesn't teach that men and women are interchangeable. Our society is very keen on this idea, but the Bible is very, very clear that men and women are different, and therefore the principles of wisdom lived out in our lives will look different in a man's life and a woman's life. So having said all that, to slightly clear the ground, what is this passage, the wife of noble character? Well, the first thing we would notice is that it is like an A to Z. Each sentence begins with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's like an A to Z of the noble wife. And it's a fitting end to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs personifies wisdom. It puts wisdom as a woman in chapter 8. It personifies foolishness, the foolishness of the prostitute in the early chapters. And so it's fitting that Proverbs finishes with wisdom fleshed out in the life of a woman, because wisdom is particularly portrayed as a woman in Proverbs. So three things that we learn about this noble, or we might say valiant, strong wife. First of all, she is faithful. Secondly, she works hard in home and community. And thirdly, she fears the Lord, and so is to be praised. So firstly, a noble wife is faithful. Have a look with me at verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. This kind of woman is to be valued, treasured. Verse 11, her husband is full of confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. There's not a day when she doesn't seek to bring him good. She's faithful to him. Now, this perspective can be lost, can't it, especially in motherhood. Rachel Johnson again writes this: I can't be revealing any state secrets when I write that the first year of a baby's life is flatteningly brutal. It is boring. It is lonely. It is tear-jerkingly tiring. You can't read the paper because you have a baby. And you can't talk to your friends because you have a baby. And then after a year of baby hell, what happens is this, at least if you're me, you have another. And then another. And then all you want to do is have babies. You like the smell of them. In other words, it's very tempting in motherhood for the focus to become the baby. And this focus of the noble wife, in which she's seeking to bring her husband good all the days, every day, yes, even the days when she has a baby, can wane. See, the idea that a mother should be seeking to do good to her husband all the days of her life in faithful marriage, and even when the baby is around, seems an impossible ideal. But wisdom teaches that the central relationship in the family is the relationship between husband and wife. And she is wise if she recognizes this. It is so easy for the baby to become the center of the universe. And particularly in our culture, demand feeding, the baby being in the bedroom for years. Now, these are not necessarily wrong things, but the danger is that this can undermine marriage. Mim and I talk with couples, and have done over the years, both those who would be Christian couples and those who are not Christian couples. One of the things that we find is that when babies come along, often a sex life ends for years. Emotional support of the husband can wane to such a degree that he may seek emotional comfort outside the marriage relationship. Now, that's the wrong thing. The husband shouldn't be doing that. But what this is saying is that it is wise for the wife to continue to make her husband the focus, the most important relationship in her life, because that relationship will continue till death, all the days of her life. And this is the prime way in which children are blessed. Children are not blessed when the marriage breaks down through an affair. It is wise to keep this relationship at the center of family life. The wise wife is faithful, doing good to her husband every day of her life. The days when babies come are not excluded. How would we seek to work this out? Well, firstly, I know a couple who sought to put this principle into practice several days after the birth of their first child and decided to go out for a meal to celebrate. Obviously, there was the privilege that grandparents could look after the baby for just those couple of hours. How do we put our marriage relationship first? And this is not just faithfulness for wives, is it? It's not as if the husband doesn't need to be putting his marriage top of the list in his priorities. See, if as husbands we are not laying down our lives for our wives sacrificially, looking after the baby so that she can care for herself, if we're not giving her a real break so that she can go and be with her friends for a while and she can recover mentally from the brutality and the boredom, find herself again. If we're not doing that, then how will she see her husband as the focus for the marriage relationship? Because he's not making her the focus of the marriage relationship. And if, as a church, we do not seek to support those with young children, we may find more marital problems in our midst than we might want. See, faithfulness is not something that is just for wives, it's for husbands too. It's for every Christian, because Proverbs teaches in chapter 3, verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Faithfulness in our relationships is to be like Jesus, who was the man who won favor in the sight of his God and amongst men. And faithful love means practically doing good to those relationships which are important to us again and again and again. Not giving up in relationships because they're hard. And that can apply to friendship, can't it? As much as to the relationship between husband and wife. It can apply to the relationships of our wider family. Faithful love, like God's faithful love. And so it's no surprise that because the noble wife is committed to her faithfulness in marriage, that she can also speak with faithfulness. Have a look at verse 25. That can't be right. Is it? No, 26, verse 26. She speaks with wisdom. And faithful instruction is on her tongue. Literally, the instruction of Hesed. The instruction of the faithful love of God that characterizes the covenant that God has with his people. She can speak of that faithful love because she's living it out in her marriage covenant. And so she can teach younger women how to love their husbands and family. She can speak of the faithful love of God in Jesus Christ to others because she has lived out with authenticity faithful love in her own covenant relationship. So that's our first thing that we can all take away. The noble wife is faithful. We're to be like her because she's like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, she works hard in home and community. The section from verse 13 to 27 is all about hard work, and some of this hard work is sheer drudgery, isn't it? She selects wool in verse 13. She spins with spindle and distaff in verse 19. And we might think, oh, how quaint. You know, spinning, that's kind of a hobby, isn't it? No. That's a huge amount of hard work in the ancient world. That was how you made your clothes. You collected the wool, you processed the wool, you spun the wool, you then weaved it or knitted it or whatever you do with wool. And so it's not surprising that she's up early in verse 15 and she works till late in verse 18. In verse 15, she provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. It's the drudgery of serving food day in, day out. The hard work of another shop. The preparation of another meal. And then there's the creation of clothing for the family in verse 21 and sumptuous home furnishings for herself. In verse 22, she's providing security in the home when the weather is bad in verse 21 so she can laugh at the days ahead. And then there's business dealings, a vineyard, verse 16, property development, trading in verse 13 and verse 24. She's not only hard working for her family, she's hard working in the community, verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She shows this faithful covenant love to the poor, which is wise because Proverbs says a lot about how we treat the poor. In chapter 14, verse 31, Proverbs says, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. But whoever is kind to the needy, like the noble woman, honors God. She fears the Lord. Now, at this point, we might be thinking, this is just unrealistic. I mean, this picture that we're given is like being supermum, which I'm told the Oxford English Dictionary's definition of supermum is this, an exemplary or exceptional mother, especially one who successfully manages a home and brings up children whilst also having a full-time job. And we might add from the picture of Proverbs 31, and also is a businesswoman and is a charity worker. Now, this isn't a blueprint. And it's not outdated and chauvinistic. It doesn't function in the way that we are to copy this. We are to see how she is applying the principles of wisdom in her life in a shape that fits with being a wife and mother. That's not all of our calling. See, it is wise to show kindness to the poor. That's what Proverbs teaches. The noble wife is kind to the poor. It's wise for her to do these things that she does, but it doesn't mean that a wife has to stay at home, that women cannot go out to work, and that men must go out to work and can't stay at home. We know that from the rest of the Bible. Jesus himself was provided financially by women in his ministry, and it didn't damage his perfect masculinity. But neither is this teaching that men and women are interchangeable. The way in which wisdom works out in the life of a wife and mother will look different to how it works its way out in the life of a husband and father, because men and women are not interchangeable according to the Bible. And the Bible is realistic. We live in a fallen world, and necessity may mean that some husbands stay at home and some wives go out to work. That shouldn't challenge our masculinity or our femininity. But whoever we are, it is wise to work hard. See, throughout Proverbs, hard work is wise. The sluggard, the lazy person, is the fool. A sluggard's appetite is never satisfied, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. So maybe we're single here this morning. Maybe we aspire to marriage. What is a wise way of preparing for marriage? Maybe we're a teenager here this morning. Learn to work hard. Whether you're husband or wife, that is the life of wisdom. Learn to have concern for the poor. Whether you're husband or wife, that is the way of wisdom. Learn to be part of a community. Whether you are husband or wife, that is part of being wise. We need to apply these principles in our lives, and our lives will have different shapes. If the woman is the main breadwinner, the man working at home, she will need to consider how to encourage him to express his masculinity in spiritual leadership or work of another kind. Just as when the Lord Jesus Christ was financially provided by women, he devoted himself to the work of spiritual leadership. There's many ways in which this wisdom applies in our lives, but it means hard work in home and community. And then finally, the noble wife. A noble wife fears the Lord, so is to be praised. See, we finish, in a sense, with what we're celebrating today on Mothering Sunday. We finish with the wife of noble character being praised. Have a look at verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed. They praise her. They appreciate her. Her husband also, and he praises her. He appreciates her. So if you have a mother, she is to be praised by you, appreciated by you. And I would suggest not just on Mother's Day. This isn't a text just for Mother's Day, is it? If she has nobility, if she has worked hard, if she has taught you about God, you are to especially praise her, to bless her, to appreciate her. But also, it's not just children who are to praise their mothers, is it? It's husbands who are to praise their wives. Her husband also, he praises her. If the husband does not praise her or appreciate her, then maybe the children will be less likely to praise their mother and appreciate their mother. Husbands, we have a responsibility. And not just to sort of pull the stops out on Mother's Day. Maybe every Sunday. Maybe we might want to resolve to think of ways each weekend to appreciate, to praise our wives and to encourage our children to do the same. Otherwise, the drudgery and brutality of being a mother might tempt her to think this is not worth doing. But what does he praise her for? Verse 29, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. In his heart, he is being faithful to his wife, isn't he? He's praising her. He's saying, you surpass them all in his sight. Maybe particularly as her beauty begins to fade because of the sheer hard work of being a mother, how much more he should praise her. He recognizes that verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman or wife who fears the Lord is to be praised. And this praise is not just to be exercised by children and husbands, but in society. Verse 31, give her the reward she has earned. Well, it may be not the £120,000 a year, But it should be appreciation and praise and recognition. Let her works bring her praise where? At the city gate. The city gate was not just a public place. The city gate was the place of law. As a society which values motherhood should recognize in law that this is a praiseworthy, noble, valiant thing. So, as I close, how will we praise the wives and mothers in our midst? How will we as a church family praise our mothers, not just today, but throughout the year? How will we as children praise our mothers, not just today, but throughout the year? How will we as husbands praise our wives, not just today, but throughout the year? Maybe we could develop a family tradition each weekend of doing something to praise, appreciate, show how much we value the way our wife or mother is living out her life. Sure, we mustn't idolize motherhood. We mustn't idolize family life as if it's the only calling. I think the danger in our society is to denigrate it. See, there is a more fundamental reason why we are to praise those who fear the Lord. Because they point us to the one man who feared the Lord perfectly, the Lord Jesus Christ. He delighted in the fear of the Lord. He was full of the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit. And wherever we see the fear of the Lord fleshed out in front of our eyes, we should praise it because we live to praise Him. Let's pray to Him, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank You and praise You for all those in our midst who live out their fear of the Lord as wives and mothers. We thank You for the way in which they serve us, work hard for us, the ways in which they even bear a cross for us. Thank You that they point us to the ultimate one who feared the Lord, the ultimate one who suffered for our good. So please help us in praising Jesus to appreciate and value our wives and mothers. Amen.